Welcome to Just a Taste. I'm Scott Curry with Chef's Best. We gather to talk about the trends in marketing, retail, and production in food and beverage that are shaping the industry. Joining us today is NBA writer for ESPN, Baxter Holmes. Baxter is today one of the top writers on the NBA for ESPN, and previously was the Los Angeles Lakers beat reporter for ESPN. Prior to formally joining ESPN, Baxter was with the Boston Globe and LA Times, covering a range of topics from entrepreneurship to sports. You can also find his work in Esquire magazine now and then. His article, The NBA's Secret Addiction, led him to a prestigious James Beard Foundation Media Award, the top honor in the culinary industry. Baxter, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. So I would suggest to our listeners first that if they have not yet read your article, The NBA's Secret Addiction, they press pause and go ahead and do it now. It's brilliant. It's fascinating. As you said, it's now, I think, considered award-winning. Let me just try and read an excerpt here, and I'll try and do it justice with my own little dramatic reading here, but there's some brilliant writing in here that I think you probably had a lot of fun constructing. So let me just read a quick excerpt so that the audience here can understand the premise of the article. You had written, quote, "But the Cavaliers fare far better with their fare, serving themselves 20 artisanal PB&Js prior to tip-off, with homemade grape and raspberry jelly, as well as almond butter and banana and peanut butter and banana sandwiches. The power of the PB&J being wielded as a form of asymmetric nutritional warfare." So Baxter, that was, I guess my question is, how has your life changed since you wrote that article, other than the fact that anytime you Google your name, it's accompanied by PB&J? But how has your life changed with an article that you know, I think it was kind of one of those ones that went viral, set the internet on fire. It's still being talked about today, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, first I'll say that I never imagined that it would be go viral, that it would be as popular as it was. You know, the weeks after that story was posted, I was, swamped with interviews and all kinds of requests, and people wanted to talk about it. My phone just didn't stop going off. I've never written anything that has received that much reaction, and it really has continued. You know, there was a stretch, and I guess today, you know, continues it as well, where I've heard about that story probably almost every single day since I've written it. It's been more than a year. In some form or fashion, if it was receiving an email, a tweet, a note from somebody, you know, being introduced to somebody and hearing, you know, "Oh yeah, I read that story you wrote," or whatever the case may be. And then, you know, winning a James Beard Award was incredibly surreal, and just something I never anticipated. And even, you know, when ESPN was kind enough to let me attend the awards, even though it was in the middle of the playoffs, and when I was standing up on stage receiving the medal, I couldn't believe it. Still can't believe it. And so, I mean, it's hard to put into words. It's, I kind of joke to some people now that if I were to depart this earth tomorrow, the peanut butter and jelly store would be fairly high up in my obituary, and it might be on my, it might make my tombstone, in fact.
It's come a long way from Oklahoma to receiving a culinary industry media award. A couple of curious questions. Do you feel pressure to produce another piece? I mean, you're very well accomplished. You have a loyal following online. Anyone that you do an ounce of research on you, and people clearly enjoy the coverage that you provide to NBA fans and beyond. But that, you know, that article, it kind of transcended sports. It's perhaps one of the more eccentric articles written about the NBA. There's moments of tongue in cheek. There's moments of seriousness, you know, addressing psychology and control and consistency and comfort. And, you know, you talk about it's like heroin, sex, cocaine, and you read that and it's kind of tongue in cheek, but at the same time, you're like, wow, you know what, that kind of is. So do you feel pressure to, you know, kind of produce that type of, you know, hit or home run, if you will, or is it just you're happy that you did, you know?
It's a really interesting question. You know, on one level, I want all my stories to be home runs. Now, I certainly can't control the level of, you know, going viral is kind of an interesting thing, right? It's not something that you necessarily have a ton of control over. All you can really do is, you know, try to write the best story that you can. You know, you try to get the most interesting information, the most unique information that people can't get anywhere else. You know, report it to the fullest, write it in an interesting, compelling way that makes people want to stick around for the full story. And then, you know, it's in a lot of other people's hands at that point, you know, maybe how it's designed or promoted or what other news happens that day. And sometimes if the stars align, it can go viral and that's it. I feel tremendously fortunate that one did. I don't know that I feel pressure to maybe to do something that will hit at that level again. That's such a unique, it was such a unique thing that happened with that story. And that story is fairly unique in and of itself. So I don't necessarily expect to do something like that again, but I want to write stories, you know, in general that are all successful to some degree, that people enjoy reading, that they talk about, you know, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm.
Popularity being a measure for having, you know, reached people and you know, piqued their curiosity and everything. How did you come across this story? I know, you know, the nexus of the story is Kevin Garnett of the Boston Celtics in 2008. Yeah. During a championship run, started eating peanut butter and jellies. But how was the story first introduced to you?
Sure. So I was an intern at the Boston Globe in the summer of 2008 when the Celtics were in the finals against the Lakers. And I remember reading or hearing about that summer that Kevin Garnett was making the team eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and was really serious about it. And I thought it was kind of interesting, quirky, whatever the case may be. About 5 years later, when I became a full-time beat writer at the Globe, no less, they hired me back to cover the Celtics full-time. I remember traveling around the league, and everywhere I went in NBA locker rooms, I saw peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I thought, like, this is kind of unusual. And, you know, there's so much money in sports science and sports nutritionists and dietitians and everything else. And yet there's this, like, really cheap sandwich, you know, it's kind of a childhood snack that's in every single locker room. I wonder why that is. And I asked my editor, then editor Henry Abbott, who's amazing, if I could look into it. And he immediately said yes. And it just kind of went off from there. And, you know, the editors were very excited with the material that I was, you know, I'd keep them updated on stuff I was finding, which seemed to get more and more eccentric by the day, really. Every time I'd interview somebody, it was, you know, this material was really interesting. And then they took it from there in terms of, you know, they had a really elaborate photo shoot and with a great studio, and, you know, there was tons of great artwork that went with it, and the display in the magazine was awesome. And then we sent it out into the world, and it just caught fire like, you know, nothing I've ever done. And, you know, it'll be hard to top that one for sure.
Yeah. What other are there any other kind of unconventional or peculiar, eating habits that you've seen, you know, in your I think at least here a decade plus of being around locker rooms? Imagine you don't want to name any names, but you know, what else have you seen out there that has, you know, raised an eyebrow?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, if guys are superstitious, you know, as mentioned in the article. So it depends a lot player to player. You know, sometimes you'll see guys eating, you know, candy before the games, like Skittles or, you know, just various things like that, in which they'll be kind of chided by some of the veteran players who are like, what are you doing eating that? I've noticed coffee. There's so many, you know, energy drinks and energy shots and everything like that. But I've noticed that coffee is particularly popular amongst a lot of the guys. I'm trying to think. I mean, the food in general, one of my colleagues, I think, had written about this. But food in general in the NBA has become a much more curated type of experience. Teams are hiring better, more noted and successful chefs They're really upping the quality of the catering that they're providing to these players. So the meals that you see before games and after games are really quite good. Whereas some in the league will tell you that as of, you know, a decade ago, teams might be lucky to get a, you know, any kind of meal at all. But now, I mean, it is really elite cuisine that they're being fed before and after games.
Mm. So now that you've written this piece here, this is a very important question here. When does a PB&J no longer have the right to be called a PB&J? Because I think a PB&J, it's got to be peanut butter in either grape, strawberry, or raspberry jelly. Maybe we can get away with some apricot. Just banana and almond stuff to call it a PB&J. I mean, I think we're getting to a point where there other foods are streamlining off the brand of PB&J and you know, in an illegal way.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. It's and especially if you go to some of the cities, you know, like where Cleveland, where they're doing like almond butter and, you know, organic preserves and banana, or I think in Milwaukee, they, you know, you could get like marmalade and Nutella. Yes, there's the term PB&J is becoming, you know, kind of much broader. It's more about just the notion of like some kind of fruit and some kind of nut butter, and that's, you know, that, and then that becomes it. Well, that was one thing that really kind of surprised me was the variety, even the way it was prepared. You know, crust, no crust, toasted, untoasted. You know, if it's cut a certain way, if it's, you know, this kind of jelly, this kind of jam. Also, the divide, the people who like strawberry hate grape and vice versa. It was amazing to hear them talk about that way. Like, people are really devoted to one or the other, creamy, chunky, you know, whatever the case may be. That was impressive.
I think that extends all the way down to my daughters as well. If I get crunchy peanut butter, there's a revolt in our house as well. Well, I know that you're very busy. We're in the midst here of the NBA finals. Do you have any predictions?
I'm going to make the safe call and predict the Warriors will win again, barring anything unforeseen health-wise. They are the greatest team of the modern era, and may well, you know, I don't know how long this dynasty that they're, you know, appearing to put together may last, but there's no signs of it slowing anytime soon. They're really incredible. And as noted in that story, they are big fans of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I see them, I still see them in the locker room after every game and buy the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. There's always a pack of bananas, or I don't even know what the plural term is for a bunch of bananas, I guess is what it's referred to. And which makes me think they're doing the Elvis style of peanut butter, PB&J with a banana slices on. So anyway,
are there any teams that don't have the PB&J going? I was almost counting as I went through your article, and I mean, I don't know if anyone's paying attention to teams like the Charlotte Bobcats this year, but is it that ubiquitous that every team is doing this? It almost seemed that way because, you know, players spread through free agency and the like.
I don't know of a team that isn't doing it. I don't even think we were able to mention every team. You know, like somebody told me afterwards that Charlotte, they're like, oh yeah, you know, Charlotte likes to grill their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I was like, oh really? That's interesting. You know, so yes, I did. That's a short answer. I don't know of a team that isn't doing it. I can't think of a locker room I've been in where I haven't seen it. But again, like, it's going to come in various degrees, right? Like, not every team is going to be as serious as Milwaukee and do like a peanut butter and jelly buffet with all kinds of jams and jellies and nut butters and Nutella and different kinds of bread and stuff. Some teams may be more subtle than that, but it is, you know, it is a staple of the NBA. And I don't know, you know, as someone was quoted saying in the piece, I don't know if that is ever going to change.
Yeah. Well, the article is The NBA's Secret Addiction. really recommend all our listeners to read it. It's about peanut butter and jelly, but it really isn't. It touches on nutrition science, the idea of food as comfort, all wrapped up in a highly entertaining and readable article. So go ahead and Google it, the NBA's Secret Addiction. And Baxter, how can folks follow you? I think it's at Baxter on Twitter. Is that correct?
Yeah, just at Baxter on Twitter. I have a fairly unique name. So if people are trying to find my work, I don't think they're going to be competing with too many other Baxter Holmes folks out there to find it. So my byline is it's fairly singular, so it's easy to find my stuff.
And you scooped up an easy to remember Twitter handle as well. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you for bringing the sports world and beyond such a cool, entertaining, and informative article. And enjoy the NBA finals as they progress. And best of luck in finding the next kind of, lifting the veil of secrecy on kind of the next quirky habit maybe that's out there. And if it's about food, we'd love to have you back on again to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually had a story in May that was about how obsessed the NBA is, or the booming obsession, I should say, with wine, which was about as much fun as you can have working on a story. That was a real treat. But yeah, it's been fun dabbling in the culinary world for a minute, I've learned a lot and it's been great. So, but anyways, yes, thank you for having me so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care, Baxter.
Thank you for joining us on Just a Taste, a Chef's Best production. Join us again next time as we talk to more experts in marketing, retail, and production in the food and beverage industry. You can always visit us at chefsbest.com to learn more.